There we go. All righty. I'm going to try to make myself talk softly so that the power that we pay for it can control my voice. So that works a lot better. I'm going to move up on stage in just a second here, but I want to start here. I want us to, before we do anything, ask God to help us. I don't know about you, but I need it. Father, we give you the glory for every good thing you do. Guide us in this study. Help us to see what you want us to see, and help us, Father, to feel that you guided our lives and brought us to this place because there's something that you wanted to see happen in our lives. And again, we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin by reminding you about what we're dealing with. We're talking about how do we build spiritual flames instead of letting them go out, be quenched. And so we're kind of looking at the positive side. One of my favorite stories, I actually told it a few years ago. There was this rabbi in a small town. And he'd always wondered why everybody loved pork. And of course, you know that the Jews are not allowed to eat it. It's unclean. But there was no way he could do it in town because, well, he would be seen. And so finally he got up the courage and he traveled to a little town a long way away. And he walked in there and he ordered the first thing about pork that was on the menu. And he was just excited and he was looking forward to it. And then he looked up and the president of their synagogue walked in the back door. And he walked right up to him and said, "Hey, fancy meeting you here. Can I sit down and join you for lunch?" And he was dab, 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 dab. "Oh, okay." And they started talking and he was nervous. And then before too long, they brought out this big platter and it was covered with one of those beautiful silver covers. And they set it down and they lifted it up and it was a small, full pig with an apple in its mouth. And the president was just shocked and just didn't know what to say. And the rabbi recovered very quickly and he said, "What a fancy restaurant. Look at the way they serve the apple I ordered." Well, you know, that kind of reminded me of the phrase that we use regularly, you do what you got to do to survive, right? Everybody's seen that song that's online this time of year, every year, about the turkey singing, "I'll Survive." I just love that. "I'll survive, I'll survive." And it's just, you know, it's just, even though I've seen it a dozen times, it's still so funny. It's a good one to watch. Well, I bring that up because I want to mention to you, I enjoyed, past tense, the Survivor show. How many of you have seen at least one episode? It's been on for, what, 15, 20 years, something like that? You know, back when it first came out, it was kind of cool. I loved the premise. They're going to survive, they're going to cooperate, and they're going to compete. And man, the first few seasons, I kind of watched every bit of it, and I enjoyed it. You know, and I had people that I was cheering for and teams that I was cheering for. But then it just sort of seemed to take a continual turn to the sleazy and the selfish. I mean, the interaction that they had and the backbiting and all the nasty stuff that was going on, you know, it just lost its appeal to me. I don't need to turn on my TV and see that. There's enough of that in life, right? And so I haven't watched it for the last several years, but I have said, in fact, I said it here several years ago, I made this statement. I don't think they would ever make a Survivor show with really true Christians. And there's a good reason for that, because if you have really good Christians, I mean really people that live their faith, I think it would become a boring show to watch people who care about each other and who get along. I mean, you know, what's exciting, what's entertaining about watching kindness and courtesy and love and caring? I mean, nobody wants to watch that on TV, right? And so that's why I say I don't think that they would ever do that. But I thought, but what if they did? I mean, what if we did? And as I kicked that around, this is where I jumped to real quickly too. I thought, you know, would we demonstrate Jesus, or would we over a period of time become like all the other survival shows and start doing the backbiting and the competition and all the nasty stuff that makes it ugly and makes it to where I didn't want to watch it, which sometimes is why people don't want to watch Christians, because there is a level of inconsistency there sometimes. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out as an idea. And this is what I want to do this morning. I'm wondering, what would it be like if we as a church family had our own Survivor show? I mean, just us. I mean, when I think about that, I'm thinking, you know, well, okay. Again, would we start out strong and get weak? Would we start out strong and get stronger? Would we look good to the world if they're watching us and seeing how we take care of each other, or maybe we don't take care of each other? And that's why the questions jumped up in our heads. You know, what would we do? How would we act, and how would we treat one another? And I guess the bottom line question is, you know, would we survive? And so as I was kicking that around, I thought, well, you know, let's do that. Let's just have a little bit of a Survivor show. I don't have a Survivor bandana. I did steal some from Bandana's restaurant. No, I didn't. I bought these online. So I'm going to get mine ready, and I learned the hard way. You've got to fold from the point backwards, otherwise you've got a little point flopping down in front of your head. So, see, I practice everything at home most of the time. So let me fold this up, and then I'm going to draft some volunteers to be part of what I want to do. There we go. That looks pretty good. And you can do this if you're part of the team. And if you want to wear it as a scarf, you can do that too. So here's my, I better put a knot on that. I can tell it's getting looser. It does wonders for my hair, doesn't it? I can feel it kind of poofing up in the back. And when you haven't got much, every little poof helps. So with that in mind, let me get my group together. And by the way, I did give them a little bit of a warning that, Justin, come on, bud. You're my first one. Come on up here and grab a seat, Justin. Come on, you can do it. And you can sit anywhere you want. Here you go. And let's see. We've got to get Julie and Chris. I'm going to make sure they weren't back in Spark. So y'all need matching bandanas, do you think? You're the only married couple on the group. I'll tell you. Yeah, there we go. We'll get you got red on, and you've got, well, you'll take the black one anyway. Let's see. And OD, come on, OD. And if you're wondering why I didn't ask you, I had to ask people who I knew wouldn't turn me down. So well, that's kind of where this comes from here. So, and then Holly, I guess I'm going to have to draft you. You don't have a grandkid in your lap, do you? All right, good. Had to make sure you didn't have a grandkid sitting in your lap somewhere. Yeah, you want to wear it as a scarf, ladies. Those of you who've got really pretty hair and don't want to mess it up, you can fold that any way you want. Go there and sit over there by Justin. All right. Now, this is what I want us to do this morning. I'm not going to put them on the spot to have to answer questions or anything. At least I don't think I do. I haven't checked my outline yet completely. No, I have. I'm just kidding you. But I do want us to kind of go through this together, and we're going to kind of, let me keep my notes with me so that I don't get too far lost here. And in fact, let me just go ahead and give you a heads up here. Here's one thing I want you to help me with. Now, we've gotten some secret guidance from the head of the game. Here's part of it, and y'all are going to have, you can look at it ahead of time if you want. You don't want to be surprised. And let's see, I got a really hard one for OD. No, I don't. So we'll be looking at these in just a second here. But as we're sitting there trying to figure out what we're going to do, I'm trying to decide whether to sit or walk around behind you. I kind of like walking behind you. There's something fun there about that. We're going to look, and you can see the monitor there, and they'll be seeing what's up on top here. What I want us to do is I want us to walk through some basic questions. And again, the game is the game of life, the game of the spirit, and the goal is we want everybody to survive. So that's what we're getting at. But what I want us to do is I want us to talk about how to do that. So to do that, first of all, we have to decide who we are. And again, there are a lot of names that I could have chosen, that I could have picked out. But in the Bible, you have some names that just sort of jump out at us when you talk about being a team or a group. And the first one being family. We all know that. That's where it comes out of the Bible very loud and clear. In fact, the passage that was read earlier from John, 1 John chapter 3, talking about God, see what love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called what?
Children,
right? And so if you're a child, that means that there's a father. That means that there's a family. We're children of God. In the very next verse, John says, dear friends. So not only are we family, but we're friends. And, these are concepts that are kind of interchangeable when you look at it. Let me put that one up there. Because, again, we are body, which means that we are united, we are family, we are friends. And there's so many verses that are talking about these things. In fact, one of the ones that I thought was rather interesting, when you, I've got a parallel Bible here, and my Bible is, it's got NIV on one side, and the Message on the other. And I'm looking down through it and comparing them side by side. And let me just see if I can get these on underneath my heavy-duty bandana. Verse 1 of NIV in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. Now, brothers and sisters, in the Message it says, I don't think friends. And then in verse 4 of the NIV chapter 5, but you, brothers and sisters, in the Message it says, but friends, you're not in the dark. And then verse 12, you can see, all of you can see I've got it marked in my Bible. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, and when you go over to the Message it says, and now friends. It's interesting words that are being used there. The only difference between saying brothers and sisters and friends is whether or not you've got a family emphasis to it or whether you're emphasizing the friends part. And really, when all is said and done, all it's talking about is closeness, isn't it? It's just talking about closeness, which is what we are as a family, and what we are as friends. So that's who we are. And that's why we're going to survive. That's why we're going to make this thing happen. Now, there's a third one that I wanted us to think about, too, in terms of defining who we are. And again, this group represents all of us, okay? When we talk about who we are servants. And if you are described as a servant, that means you have a what?
A master.
You have a master, right? You have to have a master. But the beautiful thing about being family and friends is that not only we are servant because we've got a master, we are servants because we care about each other. And so we serve one another. Galatians 6, verse 2, he said, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law. And everything God wants us to do is summed up in helping each other carry one another's burdens. And then my favorite one that we use constantly, 1 Peter 4, 8, above all, love one another because love covers a multitude of sins. But there's another direction that we get, and that's what I want them to help me read. It comes from Paul's guidance on how to survive as a family, as friends, and as servants. And I want them to read those instructions going all the way around. Let me grab you your microphone, too. I forgot to get that down here. Put a headband on, and I can't think. Is it on? Is it hot back there? Yeah, it's hot. So you can just, is that right or is that me?
Hello.
It's on
mute. Yeah. Jerry said he was going to leave it on. You can't trust him. Try it. That's got a red light. Is the red light the one you need or is it the green light? The mute button's on.
Right there.
There you go.
There. Nope. Right there.
Press that black one there. That's it. Is that good?
No.
Woo, I love it when it works. Yeah, okay, just pass the microphone around and each one share your instructions from the master, okay?
Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle.
Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality.
Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends and they're happy when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody.
Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That isn't for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it.
Our scriptures tell us that if you see your enemy hungry, go buy that person lunch. Or if he's thirsty, get him a drink. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. Don't let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil by doing good.
So we've got some pretty clear instructions there about how to treat and care for each other. Hang on to that for me, O.D. In fact, I'm going to use you again in just a second here. You may recognize that's the message version of Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. So now that we kind of know who we are, we need to decide what we are going to do. And so I want to suggest that the first thing we have to do is we have to reassess what our values are. Because, again, that determines how we treat each other. That determines how we're going to work as a team, whether we're going to survive. And, again, as a family, we've got very clear values. We know it begins, number one, with love. Because, above all, love one another, right? And if you don't have that one right, the rest of them are probably not going to happen anyways. So that seems to me like that's kind of a no-brainer. I think the thing we have to kind of ask, though, is it real? Are these honestly values? Or is it religious talk? Which, of course, we hope it's not just religious talk. We hope we really do love each other. But what love means is that we stick together. That we care, right? That we're here to support each other. We're here to comfort each other. And then we have another interesting value that it's not a word that we use a lot, I think, in our vocabulary. But equipping means that we give each other the tools that we need to get the job done that we have to get done. Now, again, if we were on a stranded island somewhere, that was always part of the survivor, right? Somebody's got to know how to make a fire. You know, somebody's got to have maybe a way to cut some bamboo poles or something that we can use for shelter. Somebody's got to catch some fish, and we got all those things. Spiritually speaking, we've got tools too. And God said, get together. In fact, he even gave us spiritual leaders, he said in Ephesians 4:11, to equip one another so that we can serve one another and become more like Christ. The third one is support. And again, you are not a family, you are not friends, you're not a team if you don't support each other, right? And again, remember, in terms of what we're talking about, that means nobody is voted off, okay? That doesn't mean somebody can't decide they want to leave, right? They can turn around and leave anytime they want to. But nobody votes you off. That's the way God's team is. And then because of that, we certainly need to celebrate. And what celebrate simply means is that we are thankful and we praise the successes that we have. We are thankful for all the things that are going on that are good. And we're trying to use that as a way to build each other up. And we always benefit. I benefit when I build somebody else up because it builds me up. And so it's kind of a mutual thing. And by the way, I really, even biblically and theologically speaking, I think that is a better word to describe what we do on Sunday morning when we come together. Because worship is 24/7. But celebrating together is something we can only do when we're together. So that's kind of reassessing and making sure that our values are there. But then here's one that's incredibly important. Everyone is needed and everyone is valuable. Now, again, if we were doing a sermon on this, which, of course, this isn't a sermon, right? We would probably go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and talk about being one body. And even the parts that don't look like they're very important are incredibly important. I mean, that's a great lesson. But again, isn't that true? When you start talking about friends, or when you start talking about family, or being a servant, am I only a servant to some? Am I only a friend to some? Am I only family to some? That's not the way we're supposed to be. We recognize that every part of this family is important and vital in the eyes of God. And if they're important in the eyes of God, they're important in our eyes too. They have to be, because that's the way God made us to be, right? And then it may seem a little bit weird, but I think we need to feel like our tribe rocks. And again, I'm not talking about the biggest and the best, right? I'm talking about it's mine. You know, some of you may do a better job of Thanksgiving than the Root family does. But there's no place I want to be other than with the Root family on Thanksgiving, because it's mine. It's my family. It's our traditions. It's our food. And again, we'd love for you to be part of it. But I still sort of think ours is the best, you know, because it's ours, right? It didn't. You can't qualify that, because we're talking about love. We're talking about caring. So let's get down to the nitty-gritty here. We only have a few minutes left. Because all those things are true, we know who we are, we know essentially what we're supposed to be doing, how are we then going to treat each other? And wow, that's touchy, isn't it? Because we don't always do a real good job of being consistent in how we treat each other. And I wonder, you know, as I'm looking about trying to get a message, I'm wondering if there's a way. I happen to have had a secret message given to me. And I thought, O.D., you got a microphone in your hand. We'll let you read it. Okay, go ahead and we'll let O.D. do it. Here's a secret message that I got. I want you to share it, and then we'll break it apart.
Get along among yourselves, each of you doing your part. Our counsel is that you warn the freeloaders to get a move on. Gently encourage the stragglers and reach out for the exhausted, pulling them to their feet. Be patient with each person, attentive to individual needs, and be careful when you get on each other's nerves. You don't snap at each other. Look for the best in each other, and always do your best to bring it out.
Wow. I've got a feeling we all might need a copy of that to take home with us for Thanksgiving, right? Actually, you've got a copy of that. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 14 through 15. Now, what is he saying there? There are two kind of central things being said there, okay? So and we're going to dissect those just a little bit very quickly. I think it says what we have determined is part of our vision as a family, as a team, as a survival team, right? We connect. That means we're going to get to know each other. And then we're going to grow in love, which means that we start caring more for each other. And then as you connect and care, that's when you start being willing to commit, saying, yeah, I'll work with you, I'll work for you, I'll do things for you, because that's what relationship, every relationship, by the way, goes through this process. Doesn't matter whether it's a friend or people who eventually become husbands and wives, you have to connect, you have to care, and then you have to say, yeah, I think we need to make a commitment here. And that's why we have marriage vows and weddings and things like that, right? So that's what we do. But now the message that we got kind of broke it down a little bit. It said that we want to be warm and gently encourage everyone to help. You know, you can point fingers and slap somebody around, but that doesn't usually get a whole lot done, does it? So we just sort of want to encourage, as was read a moment ago by Art. Let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works. Sometimes we just like to stir each other up. But remember, the end result is love and good works. But then he also said that we reach out and we help those who are worn out. Everybody gets worn out. Paul said in Galatians 6, don't be weary in well-doing. Man, I'm so tired of this. I've been teaching here. I've been doing this so long. I'm worn out. Hey, brother. Hey, sister, let me help you here. I appreciate what you've done. Let me do something to give you a break and take your place maybe. But then the message also says that we're patient with each other. Wow. We don't snap at each other. That's the words he used, right? We don't just talk mean to each other, because that's not the way Christians are supposed to talk. Because we care about each other's needs. That's what he said. I think any group that's trying to work together can survive if they follow that. But I think there's a second element to what we read in that message. The second element is we are not going to give in to life's stresses and life's worries. Now, we do sometimes, don't we? But we're not going to let that control us. This Thanksgiving to Christmas is the most stressful time of the entire year for everybody. Not to mention those that are struggling with, family problems or loss of loved ones and things like that. We all have a lot of stress. We want to keep fun in it, but sometimes we got to work hard to keep the fun in it. But certainly as a team, as a family, as friends, we are going to not let stress and the worries of the world control what we do. Now, what that means is I'm not going to lose my cool. All right? I'm going to stay even. I'm not going to let anger control. And if I get angry, I'm going to be angry and sin not. I'm not going to let it last a long time. And it means that I'm going to look for the good in the other person. Oh, I'm just doing so much and I'm so busy, I can't see anything good that you're doing. It's because I'm not looking for it. I got to start looking and recognizing what the other individuals are doing and what's good, appreciating what you're doing to contribute to the team so that we can survive. But then we help each other grow and to be better. So it's not just surviving, it's thriving. So as I help you survive and as you help me survive, I want to become a better person. I want to become a better friend, a better family member. And of course, we're talking about being a better child of God. That's the bottom line. So the bottom line or the last point we got to make is don't give up. Don't give up. Nobody wants to be kicked out. Nobody wants to be the last one standing. We all want to do this together because we're in it together. We're family. This is what we do. You know, Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. He could have easily said, don't give up, right? Because that's what he meant. You know, hang in there, do what you got to do, and grow. And there's more that we haven't even had time to look at, and we're going to, Lord willing, the next 3 weeks. He says, be joyful, be cheerful. You know, think about that. Be cheerful, and then be prayerful, and then be thankful. Those are the three biggies. In the next 3 weeks, Lord willing, we're going to look at each one of those. But then he ended by saying, be sure, please be sure that you don't do anything to quench the Spirit. I think when I look at that, I think we can make it, don't you?
I think so.
Now I will rescue you guys from being up here any longer, and you can go back to your seats. Let's give them a hand. Thank them for what they did. You can put that back on that stand down there. Give it to Jerry. Let me just end. Thank you, brother. Y'all get to keep the bandanas, by the way. In case they don't give you a napkin at lunch, you will be ready. Let me close with just a couple of very quick thoughts. I hope that was a good visual for us to recognize we are not alone, folks. We are in this together. Nobody is alone. And I hope that you don't feel that way. And whatever you need to do to connect, whatever you need to do to care, whatever you need to do to be more committed than what's going on, please consider doing what you got to do. But you see, here's where we got to get to. We all need rescuing. We got to survive until we are rescued. Amen? Right? And who knows how long that's going to take. I mean, whatever God gives us is our appointed time to survive. And again, we all need survival. We need survival from worldliness. And by worldliness, I'm talking about worldly thinking. And worldly thinking right now is telling us that you got to think about yourself and that the world is a terrible place. There's not anybody good doing any good things. And so you let all that just kind of drop on you and you don't realize that when you have God, all things work together for good. We've got to believe that, but we need to be rescued from what the world is teaching. And of course, we're talking about being rescued from sin, right? I mean, we're struggling to survive. Survive what? We're trying to struggle to survive as holy people in an unholy world. And that's what grace does for us. But I want you to recognize something else. We need to be rescued from the entire effort of trying to survive. God calls that rest. God calls that reward. I mean, just think about it. How neat that is to realize that there will be a time when we don't have to keep fighting. We don't have to keep surviving. Because we'll be with God, we'll be with Jesus, we'll be with one another, the family of God. in a place that Jesus himself prepared for us. So I want to encourage you to think about that as we close this morning. Can I invite you to stand with me? This is another passage that I wanted to close with, because what I wanted us to recognize is that Paul promised us a rescue. And I think that's what these words are saying. These are words of rescue. So I want you, I'll read it really slowly. Again, this is the Message, so even if you're familiar with it, it's a little bit different. Let's read this together. Would you join me? May God himself, the God who makes everything holy and whole, make you holy and whole. Put you together, spirit, soul, and body, and keep you fit for the coming of our Master, Jesus Christ. The one who called you is completely dependable. If he said it, he'll do it. Amen. Amen. What I want you to recognize is God gave you this message. He used me, whether I did a good job or not. You can certainly work your way through that. But the question then becomes, what do I need to do? How can we help you build up the spirit flame that's in your life? Maybe, again, you can do it. Maybe you just need to talk to God where you stand. Maybe we can pray with you as a church family. Maybe you can go back and grab one of our shepherds who are going to be around the room and pray with one of them. Please don't leave the room this morning without doing something to make sure that your fire has been built up. That maybe it needs to be reignited, or maybe it even needs to start. We can help you become a child of God. Let us know, won't you, as together we sing this song?